You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live, The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, The Beat.
What up, y'all? It's your boy DJ Jesse Jenny here at Black Hollywood Live Studios for The Beat.
Hey.
I'm joined in studio by the lovely Miss Queen.
Hey.
Sir Sean Allen.
What's up?
And we have two very special guests in studio. We have singer Sia Amon. What up, girl?
Hey. Hello.
And she brought her dear friend, writer, producer, singer as well, Damion Ferris.
What's up? What's poppin'?
Thank y'all for joining us. We're going to have some fun today.
Yeah.
I'm really into your sneakers right now.
Thank you.
Just giving that pop.
Hey, I was going to buy those too.
I'm so mad at you. All right. So before we get into your music, which I love the song Runaway.
Thank you.
We got to talk about some stuff in the Twitterverse because this week had me dying. I was just falling out my chair all week long. First of all,
because
I just read right now before we get started with the Chris Brown Instagram tea, is that I didn't know Katy Perry and Taylor Swift had beef.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they had beef.
You can have beef in pop?
I guess so.
Oh, and you want to hear how gangster Katy Perry is? She's going to call Taylor Swift out at the Super Bowl. She's going to shade Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl.
How do you do that?
She's planning this?
Right. Wait, how are you planning it and it's out in the open?
That doesn't...
That's like, I'm going to shoot you at 3 o'clock.
Well, apparently Taylor Swift said something about Katy Perry's character and Katy Perry's not having it. And so she's going to make a statement about it at the Super Bowl.
Popping shit. Oh my God.
I just think it's gangster. It's Katy Perry and Taylor Swift. I don't know. I'm into it. But moving on from that, more serious than this, Chris Brown.
Oh, poor baby.
So,
what'd he do this week?
Well, I love him so much. They just need to leave him alone.
Chris Brown.
I feel the same way.
I feel bad for him.
Okay.
Okay, what?
They hounded
what?
Him.
Chris Brown put this out. I would first like to apologize to all the fans and people who have been supporters of me and all the music over the years. The beginning of his new tour with Trey Songz has been moved to later dates. The judge would not sign off on my travel due to the tour until I finish these last 100 hours of community service. I promise that I am busting my ass doing it every day until it's complete. This is the most disappointing news I've gotten in a while. Everything happens for a reason, so I wanted to personally inform my fans. We are not canceling the tour. We are just pushing the dates back, and we will let you know what time we will be going back on tour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Instagram was not having that. Someone tweeted at Chris and said, "Dear Chris Brown, you were sentenced 1,000 hours of community service on 8/16/2013. What were you doing between then and now? I need answers."
Mm-hmm.
Chris Brown tweeted back, "Making music, jail, and trying to please you ungrateful bitch ass N-word."
Hold
up. My favorite read was this. "I wish he wasn't on this fucking tour. Now I can't see Trey tomorrow. He was the only reason I wanted to go. Uh-huh. I knew you was gonna fuck shit up for us back when the tour was announced. You always fucking shit up. Now I gotta wait for your criminal ass to do your community service and hope and pray you don't do some more dumb shit that'll fuck up my chance of seeing Trey. You've been doing community service since 2009. Finish this shit up or you gonna give me a refund, bitch. All you gotta do is 10 hours for 10 days. How hard is that, Christopher?"
Dang.
Yo.
Yo.
All caps too. Like, they really wanted us to understand that they were serious about this shit.
They broke the
They were typing this shit hard as fuck. And let me tell you. Or they was on their phone just thumbs a blazing. They were like,
at the bus stop too, just called like, "I'm supposed to go fucking see Trey tomorrow." But I really appreciate, you know, they took the time to do the math.
Really,
10
yeah.
hours for 10 days, Christopher.
Yes.
Right. Like,
since 2009. That's crazy.
I mean, Chris, yeah. I love you, buddy. But let's just get that done. You know what I mean? 10 days,
yeah,
10 hours.
Wait, he didn't pop off at this one?
What are you going to say to that?
Because it's like kind of like, do what you gotta do.
Because that bitch don't care what Chris gonna say. She just wanna see Trey Songz.
Right. People provoke him though. That's why he cussed him out. That's why he cussed that damn girl out.
Yeah, because I loved the first reaction. I was like, yo, that's perfect. Yeah.
Trying to, what he say, trying to please y'all ungrateful niggas. That's what he said. They just need to leave him alone. Mm-hmm. I just feel like.
But he is a fucker. He fucks up.
He's young.
I don't think that he's any worse than anybody else.
Exactly. Thank you. He's an average. He's a regular guy, and he's. It's not like he's doing music at the time where the internet didn't have anything to do with the people.
Right, right.
Now we are all involved in his personal life.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's going to flip. He has nothing but really to keep to himself.
I think you, like, devalue yourself when you respond to every fucking thing.
No.
Beyonce and Justin Timberlake is not
human.
On Twitter arguing with people.
He's human, and I love the fact that he cussed everybody the hell out.
See him move it closer to your mouth? There you go.
Leave him alone, people. Chris Brown ain't did nothing to
but
nobody.
Chris Brown, stop responding to drama and just do what you gotta do.
You know, sometimes it's hard for you to just be quiet when someone keeps poking you.
There's a lot of celebrities that get talked about and don't talk shit on Twitter every other day.
Maybe because it flows by, they don't see it.
I think Christopher needs a spiritual guidance in his life.
No, he doesn't.
I think he does. I'm not saying that he's going bad or anything like that. I'm just saying, I think he needs, you know what I mean? Like somebody who'd be like, look, Christopher, I understand why you're doing everything in this direction, but we can take that negativity and we can push it to positivity.
Yeah.
I just think he's just getting hit a lot. And when you're in that, it's like when you keep beating something up, that's the only way they know how to react is the same way they've been reacting.
Right. Like
you aren't giving him any other option.
Like I'm sure her mentions are like trashed every fucking single day, but you don't see her popping off every 5 minutes.
When she was pregnant and they was calling her a whale and a flower couch, she was going in on Instagram.
Don't you get more emotional when you're pregnant?
Yeah, of course, but the point is, they poked her to death when she was pregnant.
And there's a lot of people that respond.
Exactly.
A lot of people that pop up.
Yeah.
Look at Tears.
Rihanna does it all the time.
Yes. Boom. Yes, she does. She's good for it. She talks shit, y'all.
Like, that's,
no. What makes it
what's,
cool?
What's
I think
the difference?
We like her for that.
Why?
What?
So what's wrong with Chris Brown?
Because she's got the bad girl. But I mean, shit, Rihanna's got the bad boy persona, so...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Chris has the bad boy thing.
And you sitting here talking about Beyonce. Beyonce just responded, shaded the fuck out of some poor little fan talking about tag all your friends that lied to you.
What?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
The girl said, "Hey, Beyonce, I'm your biggest fan. My friends tell me I look like you." And she wrote, "Tag all your friends that lied to you."
Oh!
No!
But she didn't at the girl. She just wrote it underneath the comment.
That doesn't make it any better, bro.
It doesn't, because Beyonce, you just went from like a spiritual altar to like now you're a human. Now you just did that.
Right.
All right, moving on from that. So, 2 Chainz, we saw that he was on Nancy Grace debating pot.
That was funny.
I loved it. Well, apparently, he's going to be running for mayor. In College Park, Georgia.
Oh, he can.
He said, I'm looking forward to running at the end of this year. He said, I'm waiting to see if I meet all the qualifications.
We don't care about that.
College Park.
You always got something to say about somebody else's area. Like,
2 Chainz is trying to come up,
like,
y'all.
Like, your shit is like...
And you sitting over here shitting on him.
Yeah, 2 Chainz is a college graduate.
Boom.
He has degrees, like he's 4.0 APR, whatever it's called.
Basketball scholarship.
He is a smart man. He could probably lead College Park into a better way of living. Yeah.
True.
That's what he told Nancy Grace, though.
He said, I'm supposed to be running for mayor in College Park. I got everybody wishing. I'm really going to do this little mayor thing in College Park. I'm just trying to make sure I have the right qualifications.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he wouldn't be the first rapper to dabble in local politics. If you guys remember, Uncle Luke back in 2011 ran for Miami-Dade County, mayor of Miami-Dade County.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't work out pretty well.
Right. If Arnold Schwarzenegger,
yeah.
who can't even speak English, could become the mayor of California, he can be
the governor.
Oh, the governor. Isn't that bigger?
He's white, so it's different.
We're talking about College Park, Georgia.
College Park, Georgia, full of black folks.
Nobody cares about College Park, Georgia. It only has like 10,000 people. So yeah, he could be the mayor of it. Nobody
cares. Well, 10,000 people care.
I hope he gets it. I really hope he does,
because that'll really change a situation in hip hop. Because
the two change,
yes,
that might, you know.
That would be dope, though. He is very like.
How much contradicting are you doing right now, bro?
Right.
He's just playing devil's advocate. That's what he's doing.
And you know that's his name, devil's advocate. But which way are you playing?
Right.
Like if he was running for like Atlanta or like New York or something, I'd be like, wow, that's crazy. That's a big deal. But he's running for a little town.
He's 2 Chainz. So, like, he ain't going to be coming up with Giuliani up in damn New York. Right. Like, what he going to be saying?
Ain't nobody going to listen to him.
True. So, I appreciate
it. Be worse like David Dinkins when all the crack was on the streets.
Yeah.
Remember when David Dinkins was the mayor of New York? I don't know if y'all remember, but when David Dinkins was the mayor of New York.
I don't remember that.
Oh, my God. We're not getting into that.
Moving right along. You know, people get a kick out of me and you and our banter back and forth, but he really fluffs my feathers. But I love him.
Someone who has been fluffing people's feathers lately is, once again, Iggy Azalea. But I have to say, I watched Sway's interview with Jill Scott.
I watched it too.
This is about to get, shit's about to get real right now because they can't with Iggy Azalea. I watched Sway. He had Eve and Jill Scott on.
Weird.
And I really liked the answer that Eve delivered about Iggy Azalea, because everyone's been giving her a lot of hate. And, you know, Eve came out to say, I get that people may be upset about certain things. Yeah, she's white, but they grew up with our shit. Hip-hop is everywhere. Yes, it's us and it's our thing, but she's representing a group of girls right now as well. Let her do her thing. You know, it's not my cup of tea, but she's representing for somebody. She's doing her thing. I think she's fly. I think she looks good. I think she's a pretty girl and she has a dope body. All of that is fine. I just wish there was a little bit more of where she came from. It would be dope to hear her with her swag. What are you? Who are you? And what is that? And Jill Scott said, it's challenging for me because I come from that era that where it pulls from. To me, it's like a mixture of DeBrat and Eve, the way that it sounds. So it's a little challenging for me, but I'm a mixture of Sarah Vaughan and 5 other things. So other people could look at me and say, well, who is this girl?
Mm-hmm. People from those people era.
Right.
But at the end of the day, that is exactly what I've been saying for these past few weeks every time we talk about Iggy Azalea.
My white Nubian queen.
Yo, what?
You got the right one today. You got the right one. Pro-black up in here. You will get dragged today. But that's the same thing that I've been saying for a while about Iggy Azalea. She needs to show a little bit of who you are.
She's going
to
rap about kangaroos.
I just don't know if she's at that point yet.
Well,
because as an artist, like, I understand being developed and having guidance and, like, you know, so right now, it's not her vision right now, and I don't think she's grown into that artist to where she's, like, all hands in, it's her doing her thing, like,
she's got a lot of influence.
I don't think she's there yet. I think maybe the next album, the album after that, when she's, like,
she's been being
doing
heavily
this for a while, you know, and then we'll probably get that.
Hopefully.
Yeah, right now, she's being guided.
Talk to me a little deeper about that. So, as an artist, before getting developed, having other people kind of feed into you, you as an artist, what is it like for you to have this sort of idea in your head of who you are, what you want to put out there, and then going into a situation where here are these people being like, well, that's nice, but add this, as far as that stage where you're talking about Iggy Azalea coming into it?
Well, it definitely, I actually am just getting to that point as well, so that's why I can identify with where she's at, because I started out as an artist at 16. I was under my dad, and you kind of just are there. You're just like singing songs. You know, you really don't have that much input as you think. They make you feel included just so that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it just takes a lot of living and a lot of, I think, just true artists and true creative people have that naturally. Like, I just, after a while, just being a creative person, I just kind of grew into this new person, you know? And she just, I don't, I don't think that she's got.
So she's. You still feel like she's somewhat at a beginning stages, even though she's making a lot of money and doing her thing. She's still at a stage where she has a lot of room for growth in this industry.
Yeah, I say that because everybody's still asking the same question. Like, who is she? Why is she not doing? We want to see her. Mm-hmm. Nobody believes her. And that's, like, very important. You know, like, congratulations to her. She's doing her thing. She's blowing up. But nobody believes her.
Is
and that's
authentic?
What the problem is, you know? Mm-hmm. Nobody, they're like, man.
Well, like, Iggy saw the interview, and she felt this.
Oh, God.
Right.
There's a difference between being yourself and being your stereotype. When people I've never met say I should act more like myself, I feel like they're really saying act more like how I stereotype you to be so I can feel comfortable. I myself, as strange as I may be daily, I think it's really important we all feel free to explore or feel passionate about whatever you wish to be, as complex and multidimensional and interesting as you possibly can. Very PR.
I was just about to say, that bitch ain't right there.
Yeah, she didn't do that.
She did not write that. That
I mean,
is,
I don't know.
Here's the thing. I feel like she's trying to draw from Nicki Minaj. Remember when Nicki Minaj came out and she did all the colorful Harajuku and she, Nicki was like, look, like, I'm not just this Bed-Stuy Bronx rapper.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to fucking wear pink
Nicki's
and
from
a fucking
Nicki's from Queens, down the block. Don't
teddy bear
don't
on the head.
Talk about the Bronx or Brooklyn. She's from Queens. Get it right.
Girl, well, she done wrapped around everywhere in the motherfucking boroughs, bitch. Calm down. 156 Harlem, bitch, so don't come for me. Anyway,
I love it.
Oh, you said
that,
bitch.
Right.
You're like, what? Thank you. Okay,
no,
sorry.
But I feel like she's drawing like Nicki did, where Nicki had to sit there and explain, like, look, you guys, I can spit these hard lines, but at the same time, I also went to school for this. So I get what she's trying to pull, but like you said, we're still asking the same question.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are you?
You have to speak on the racial tension that's going on here. You kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you're the only white female in the industry right now.
Yeah.
You kind of look stupid for not speaking on it.
But she responds every time somebody says something to her, she responds.
But she responds on Twitter.
Every fucking time, just
but
like
she,
that's
see,
lame.
See, she also—I don't think that she interacts with the culture enough, the proper way, or enough.
Well, that's why everybody is having a problem with it. They're like, "Yo, sit down somewhere," you know.
Well, shout out to. Let's move on to something
well, she's
positive.
Paying her debt. She got a. She, her Nick is I Nick Young is black, so she paying her.
So you think because she fucking black dick that
yeah,
should make
kinda,
everything okay?
I mean, Illuminati-wise, if we're going to play into my, you know, conspiracy theories, I mean, you do. You got to get dragged out. You know, everyone has their gay rumors when they first come out, or lesbian rumors, or something. Like, you haven't made it until the whole world is hating on you, so.
So she could say she made it right now.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think she could say that.
Yeah.
You think
the bitch is up for a Grammy.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about a Grammy? She could pay for it.
She could pay for it, but that's the point. You done made it if you can buy a damn Grammy.
Moving right along.
Moving along.
I can't take her.
To somebody who's doing something positive in hip-hop, J fucking Cole.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
2014, Forest Hill, North Carolina. That's where he grew up. Well, you know what he's doing with that home? That is 2 Chainz.
That's true.
J. Cole is every 2 years he's going to be renting out, not renting out his house. He's going to be allowing a single mother and her kids to live in that home for 2 years rent free.
I think that's awesome.
He's going to take care of them, and he wants to start this so that way he can give back on a much more personal, one-on-one relationship.
Awesome.
Just like that's amazing, like, and to take the CD that was named after the house you grew up in, and to make that house something almost historical,
a safe haven for single mothers, and I think that is an awesome idea. It gives the mothers time, 2 years, not having to spend any money. It gives them time to get on their feet and
together.
Take care of their kids. I think that's a blessing. Ain't no now. Tell me somebody who did that.
Yeah.
Tell me somebody who did that. He's making a change. Not saying that everybody needs to give and do crazy shit, but he was moved by his heart. He don't give a fuck about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to do good music, and he's being a good Samaritan. God bless him.
Yeah.
God bless him.
That's incredible.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to J. Cole.
Shout out to J. Cole.
Word. Moving on. So my homie DJ Marley Waters.
Oh my God.
Y'all know Marley?
No.
All right. Well, Marley, you know Marley Waters? All right. Well, he's been.
Oh, Okay, no, never mind.
Well, he did that Tinashe 2-on song. Okay. Beat. Okay. But anyways, he came out with his new song.
Atlantic.
On to You. Yes, Atlantic. On to You. This is his new single. Here's the video. Check it out. It's dope. All right, well, this is not DJ Marley's On to You.
That's the video that I had a problem with.
Oh, really? Oh, so that's this group called Juice, and they're from London. I have a problem with the video, but I like the song.
We'll move right. We'll get on that one as soon as we're done with DJ Marley Waters.
All right, we'll check out DJ Marley Waters On to You.
Oh, yeah, he did a good job. Them irrelevant niggas, I be parked outside, yeah. We hating, we pull up, don't wait in no lines. 6 in the morning. Can you turn it up a little?
Let me come for you. Show you no things you ain't used to do. Bedroom like a carnival. Love me like I belong to you. Oh, God, know that I'm on to you. Everybody know that I'm on to you.
Is that Sayers Club? DJ Marley Waters, On to You.
That was dope.
He got his little baby boy on in there. I'm digging the new music that he got going on. He has a whole bunch of... You can check out Slap. That's his mixtape. It's on available on SoundCloud. Check him out. DJ Marley Waters. Next. All right. So this is this group, Juice. I wanted to put this on here because I was just walking
through
my...
You're not going
to
ask our opinion about how'd you feel about DJ Marley it? Waters?
What y'all talking about in the booth? Did you guys like DJ Marley Waters' song?
I did.
You did. What y'all thinking?
I like it. And I like it. I think he paid money for his video, so the video looks good. And the song is decent. The song is decent. I like it.
Sean?
It was dope. I like the little dance hall vibe.
Yeah. I can hear that playing.
Yeah.
We need to get that back because that was hot for a minute. And it's
died. Absolutely. It's got great energy.
That movement kind of come back because we almost had it with,
Sean Paul tried to like do something.
Sean Paul, what?
No, he was, that shit with Stargate.
Yeah,
was
what, in 2004?
And Alexis Jordan.
No, what's his name?
Sean Paul, what?
Hey, like.
What's his name? Oh my God, y'all, this is my favorite song. I would listen to this every single morning when I, Do Me Now, K. Roosevelt. Remember when he came out with that song?
But that's
who
not,
the fuck is K. Roosevelt?
What?
He's from LA. He's dope.
And that song is everything.
But that's not.
Hey.
But that's not.
Do it now, you're doing it
now. He shot that in Catalina too.
Do it now.
And they shot that in Malibu. I'm into that sound. I want that sound, that flow to come back.
I think
so
that
hopefully Molly can do this. All right, now let's get into this. Though.
Oh, God.
So I was walking in my morning, my daily morning walk with Rex.
His white woman
and
walk.
My white woman walk. And Pandora was on, and this group came on called Juice. And the song was kind of dope, and I was like, okay, who are they? Is this a new song, old song?
It is. I like the video.
So then I went to the video, and I was looking at the video, looking like, well, let's just play the video. This is Juice. They're from London. The song's called Call You Out. And I think that they like really big TLC fans because they do a little too much ode to TLC. Visual, watch. They're gonna pay attention. Keep your eyes on, see it. Cause. So that's Juice. Call me out. Call you out.
I think it's dope.
You thought it was dope?
Yeah.
Queen, we're going to get you
guys. This song has a good vibe.
Yeah.
So you like the vibe?
I didn't need the video. I didn't need the video.
What about the video made you feel like that?
too much.
You know. Give me a second to come up with a political answer.
Sia, what did you feel about the song?
I think that the it had a nice. I did like the vibe because I'm just like, but I love music, so anything I like, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I could have did without the video too. But hey, I haven't good shot record. My video yet, so I can't say nothing.
I like it because it brought me to a '90s. Like I felt it. And the one thing I will give the video. Is that there is an essence in the video that makes me feel like, wait, am I like I feel like a Maya video gonna come on after it, or like Blackstreet was right before it. You know what I mean? Like it brings me to a certain time.
Yeah.
Now, the whole like TLC thing was like, I get it, but it was just like, whoever told y'all that was cute. Like, first of all, it looked like you bought the damn pajama sets from like Koreatown.
Wait, but...
I mean, no shade, because I know it's London.
Where they at?
Oh, they're in London.
And you know, they all stuck. Because when I went to London, they were still talking about Mama Said Knock You Out. Like, they were still on some LL Cool J shit out there.
Oh, really?
Yes. So they're stuck. Bitch, get out the 90s. That video just did it for me. I looked at it and I said, what the fuck did Jesse put on here? He did this to get me feeling some type of way. I think it's horrible.
Okay, well then, I should have just sent you the song first, because I knew you were going to judge the video.
I kept leaving out of the pay, out of YouTube, because I was like, this can't be it. Because I'm like, what the hell is this? This can't be it. And I kept going in and out, and it kept popping back up. I was like, well, let me watch it and see.
I thought the video served as it was like a retro video for a retro sounding song. So the visual went with the song. And
well, I'm not into retro.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to have to take back my statement. Said I did like the video. I didn't like the group.
I didn't like the group.
I feel like the video matched the vibe of the record as far as being retro. You know what I mean? Like the coloring of it. It was cool. It's just the whole the TLC thing I wasn't fucking with.
Oh,
maybe I might have been fucking with it if the group was more.
If they were pretty.
Yeah.
them teeth was just like
I didn't take it serious.
That's why we said, is this for real?
And you know what the main part of it? It's right when that change happens. Because I watched it over and over again because I really liked the song. Like, because no one's putting music out that sounds like that right now. You know? So, as I'm watching the video, it shows the little girl and it's a little emoji stuff. I'm like, oh, this is cute. And then it's just so jarring when it's these three girls and they're in these.
And they call you out.
The Juice logo, if you notice, that's like a play off Jive, the old Jive logo.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really, it was really well thought out.
What is the concept behind this, though? Who do they belong to? Is that the guy who you saw at first?
There's like three dudes.
No.
Okay.
All right. We're going to move on before we rash out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to upset the transgender community.
Why? What did you say about transgender?
They look like transgender.
No, they look hard as hell.
Child, you're going to get our show. I can't. All right.
He want to get beat up when he walk out of the door.
Let's talk about good
that
music.
That shit was so sincere.
Good music.
Yeah.
And a beautiful visual. Miss C, girl.
Hey.
So like you were telling us, you've been in the game for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. A little while.
You know?
She's the daughter of a legend.
Stephen Russell Hart.
Yes.
So growing up in that scene, I mean, obviously you said you were always around musicians. Is this something that you always wanted to do? Is this something that your family was kind of like, you know,
well,
we want to keep you away from that maybe?
I actually grew up with my mom. I didn't grow up with my dad, but I would visit my dad. I was like in like year-round school. So we would be out of school for like a whole month whenever we got out. So I would like stay with my dad and be at the studios with him. And he's one of the original members of the Underdogs. And so I used to just sit up there and just watching them create and just the stuff that they would come up with, you know, I'm just sitting back there like, yo, this shit is like magic, you know? And I just like wanted a piece, like, instead of just singing, you know, I was like, yo, I really, really want to do this. Like,
what was it about it? Was it the actual production of it? Was it seeing
the creation of it, just to see something from nothing, you know, even just checking the producer's start with just like, you know, whatever, just like little sounds. And then before you know it, it's a whole track. And then we write, you know, then it's a full record. And then the shit's crazy. It's like, yo, we just did this so fast record. Like, right. It's like magic to me.
So for you, kind of putting the pieces together, what's your favorite starting point? Is it putting the music together? Is it creating a concept as far as what you want to talk about? As far as what inspires the music, is it, what kind of the is words, your muse?
Yeah. I don't think that it's necessarily like a favorite part about it, because it's all about the vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, when the starting from scratch, we could start from scratch, or if we already have the track. I like the vibe. You know, I like have to turn the lights down. We got this little, what are those lights called?
We got like the laser lights to like change images, you know, and sit on the ceiling. Like, yeah.
I'm like, I need my vibe. And then from there, you know, we just kind of let it just take us.
It's kind of, you kind of go off of the music, like, you know, if the track has a more of an upbeat kind of feel, then, you know, you might write something that's, you know, positive or uplifting or whatever, you know, that gives you that good energy. Or if it's more of a serious thing, then, you know, you take it there. But whatever you do, you just draw from real life, and that's how you get the best record out of it.
And now, how did the two of you guys link up?
They are the Penn Souls.
Met at Queen's event.
Yes.
No.
Was it my event or was it Mary's?
It was Mary's.
But was it at my store?
I think it was at the No, I think it was because
we were performing behind.
I didn't go to Queen's opening. Yo. I missed that one. It was like the week after Mary's.
So it was Mary's in the back of her store.
She was there, though.
Of course I was there. Mary was in my store.
I met you guys the same night.
Oh, shit. I thought you knew them already.
No, that was the night.
Damn. Yo, see, that's crazy. Look, we're sorting shit out right now.
Because there was a part of Davion. Was a part of Woodridge. The Woodworks.
Yeah, Woodworks, yeah.
They'll come up here, too. Oh,
everything
amazing! Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
So you guys,
that's a difference.
So we met that night, and at the time, my dad was looking for like writers and producers, and so I was just like on the hunt for him. And they were like dope, so I got everybody's number. And Dave just happened to be the only one that stayed in touch, and he just kept wanting to work. But his studio was like by the Beverly Center, and I lived in Long Beach, and I was just like, yo, I just got home. I'm not driving back out there. I was like, but I'm moving to North.
Not fucking with it. Let me tell y'all.
But I was like, I'm moving to North Hollywood, and when I move closer, like, I promise, like, you know, I'm going to hit you up, and, you know, I'll come through. And I kept my promise. He called me, and just so happened I had just moved, and he's like, yo, you know, you want to come by and write and sing this record? I'm like, yeah. And we've literally been writing every day since.
That's dope.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Organic.
Literally.
Yeah, it was just like a cool vibe.
Literal hits. I mean, Trey Songz, Lady Gaga, Tyrese. Like, how is it for you guys as far as differentiating yourself from being an artist for you versus writing for somebody else? Is there a difference, or is it that you write these songs? Because I don't really understand, like, the demo world. I know that people write songs, and then they may have written it for them, but it might work, and, you know, they might need that money. Or like, what does it go for you?
Sometimes it is a thing where it's, like, writing for them. Like, you know, because you have to think from a certain perspective, and you have to think about this artist, where they're at in their career, or, you know, what they're talking about.
In their personal life.
Yeah, you have to think about all of that and try to write as them, you know.
Like, how do you look at Lady Gaga and say, okay, I can relate to this, and I'm gonna put myself in Lady Gaga's self and create
with that
a song.
Situation. The it just all started with the record first. She loved the record.
Okay.
Yeah. So the record. Teddy Riley produced the record that I did.
Teeth.
Yes, Teeth with and
you did Show Me Your Teeth.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
And to be quite honest, that song is my favorite song. Really, I was not fucking with Lady Gaga for a while. But when I saw her perform Teeth live, I was like,
when she was on ABC is when I first saw her live. When she was on ABC, you know, in New York, when they do the thing outside performances, that's the first time I saw them perform, because my clients was singing with her. Anyway, moving on. I'm sorry.
So Teeth.
Yeah.
So you created the song before it was even going to Lady Gaga?
Well, the record, how that happened. Actually, I didn't write Teeth. I sang all the backgrounds on the record. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a call from Teddy Riley. And I didn't believe that it was Teddy Riley.
2 a.m.
Well, I totally didn't believe that it was him. And I kept hanging up the phone. I'm like, yo, I'm asleep. Like, please stop fucking playing on my phone. Like, I was, like, getting pissed. And I hung up on him, no lie, about, like, 6 times. Wow. And then he finally was like, look, little girl. He's like, the only reason I'm calling you back is because you're singing your ass off on your voicemail. And I really need you to come in and do this record. And I'm like, who gave me my number? And then the next day I went to Record Plant and we knocked it out, and it was like an awesome, that was actually my very first like professional
thing
on my own. Yeah.
And so how did that kind of, what did you take from that experience to kind of elevate your artistry?
You know, I was just kind of like, yo, this shit is like, I can do this.
It was a tangible reality.
Yeah, it was, because I was so used to doing everything with my dad, or, you know, not working outside of, just kind of under this nest, you know, and just like, not really trusting people, or I didn't really know what it was even like to not be with him. So I'm just like going to a big studio by myself. I'm like, oh shit. You know? And then for it to be Lady Gaga, that was just kind of like
Lady Gaga and Teddy, that's crazy.
Yeah. And it was pretty cool because Teddy's like good friends with my dad, and he had no idea that I was my dad's daughter.
Because he worked with your dad back in the
day. So he asked me, he's like, yo, like, you're dope. You know, like, are you working on anything? Like, and I'm like, yeah, I work with my dad. He's like, who's your dad? And I'm like, Steve Russell. He's like, what? He like tripped out. So he's like, everybody, this is my niece, y'all. So that was like, I'll never forget that. That was fun.
That's dope.
Tell us the difference between working on that and then working for Trey Songz.
Well, that was the beginning. I was so new, you know. When we got to Trey, I kind of been doing it now for a little while, so it's just like, yo,
going to that session, we were so pumped. Like, we just knew what we were going to work on that night was going to be it.
Oh. Yeah. So how does it work for you guys? Like, you guys get a phone call and they're like, we want you guys to come to the session for Trey Songz. Do they give you like an idea of what they're looking for? Like, how do you're excited, but what are you going in?
I mean,
with mentally,
sometimes they'll tell us like, you know, this is the direction, you know, but we get the call like, hey, can you guys come up to Atlantic for the session? We're like, yeah, dope. We get there and then it's just, we just go through tracks. Either we're in with the producer or they already have the tracks that they want us to, you know, that they have put aside that we could just go through. But the creative process is all on us. We just go through as many tracks as we need to until we feel like, yo, this is hot.
One thing I want to talk to you guys about, I ask pretty much everyone who comes in here, but I love hearing the story of, you know, two friends who, you know, I had to go do my thing and I didn't have my friend there and I had to do it all on my own. You know, he wanted me to do that 2 a.m. studio drive and I was in Long Beach.
Yeah.
As an entrepreneur and as an artist, we go through these things of, we don't have a set structure put upon us.
Right.
Because we're creative and we create that structure.
Right.
But within that structure, I feel like depression hits really heavy in the creative mind. And that pushing on to, how do I keep doing this? How is this really going to, is this what my life is supposed to be? Am I supposed to be working this 9 to 5 and then doing this afterwards? Or am I supposed to just take the risk and am I supposed to be in the studio? So for me, I go through those thoughts daily, repetitive. I want to know what you guys, what keeps you pushing specifically to get you out of there? And what advice would you give to someone who feels like, you know what, yeah, I may have had one shot, but it just feels like that next one is taking so long? What would you guys have said?
I think actually for both of us, it's kind of like, we come from families that you know, that do music. I come from the live side. Like, my uncle plays bass for Prince and anybody you can imagine he's played for. And of course, you know, her dad is who he is. So there's a certain like expectation, I guess on us that you want to live up to. But being the type of people that we are, we also want to make our own thing. You know, it's right. Like, okay, yeah, they did that. They, you know, they set a standard. Now it's time for us to make, you know, to build on that legacy and you know, make something greater. So it's just kind of, I think in our case, it's one of those things where you kind of have it or you don't, and we want it.
Yeah, it's really
badly.
About the want.
Like, we want it so bad.
If I didn't want it, I probably would just be doing something else. Because I'm an entrepreneur as well. We own the studio. I own a childcare. That's totally outside of this interview.
Get it!
Yes. You know, so it's just, I can't explain it to you. And I was talking to my dad about it the other day, and I'm like, Dad, why do I want it so bad? Like, what is that feeling to where I'm just like, yo, it's just go hard or go home. Like, I don't know where that comes from, but it's just this desire that I'm just like, I have to live up to something. I can't just exist and just exist.
What are some things looking back at it, at your journeys, that you're realizing, you know what? Because I want it so bad and I've wanted it so bad, I had to sacrifice A, B, C, and D that your friends are still doing, or, you know, the little things that we don't think about. You know, what do you look back and say, I had to sacrifice that, but that's fine because this is what I want.
Well,
because I know there are people out here watching you guys right now who want to do what you guys are doing, and it's hard because you get in that creative funk. And
For me, it's always a little bit more challenging because people look at me and they automatically have their own idea because I come from, you know, my dad is who he is, and they just automatically just think that I either just have it all going on or I just got into this business like that, but it's not like that. You know, a lot of people don't know that I was homeless for a year living out of my car. You know, it's like a lot of stuff that, I mean, so much shit. When I think back, you know, it's just like, you really just have to sacrifice sleep. You have to sacrifice
comfortability.
Everything.
Relationships. Personal life.
I mean, everything. Yeah. You really do. And that I really believe that.
Personal time.
Once I decided that I was going to go ahead and really, like, you know, be serious about it and this is what I was going to do, it seemed like at that point, all of these things around me, the universe just started reshaping everything and stuff started happening. And I think it happens to put you in position for what's coming, because now I'm really like into meditating and positive energy. I'm just an energy freak.
I think we all are.
Yeah. And so now I'm just like, okay, it's starting to make sense, you know? It's starting to all come together. So I'm just like, yo, I'm just going to continue rolling with it.
Right.
Just keep going, you know?
So you have LP Nine Lives.
Yes.
What's the Nine Lives stand for?
That came to me in my sleep.
Isn't that awesome?
I am like really like connected to my dreams. I don't know what to call it.
No, I get it.
Things come to me in my dreams,
indigo
like, oh,
child.
Shit.
And you remember
that? Like,
is that what they call that for real?
Yeah.
Really?
Indigo child.
Oh, I never knew that.
I mean, awesome. It's not just based off of that, but I'm just
I'm gonna look.
We'll talk
into
about
that.
It after.
Yeah,
Google.
And I was gonna name the LP Broken Hearts. I have a hat line called Broken Hearts as well, but just based off all the music and all the content and what I'm talking about, I was like, oh, I can really like, you know. And then I don't know. I had a dream, and I just kept seeing cats. In the dream, I just kept seeing cats over and over, and I'm like, why the fuck am I? I'm allergic to cats. I hate cats. Oh. I'm like, why the fuck is these cats, like, you know? But I had really been, like, searching for something that would really fit what I'm, you know, what I'm doing. And when I woke up, I just was like, Nine Lives. I typed it in my phone, and it just made sense. It's kind of like what we were just talking about, like different phases in life. And I feel like I'm at a point where I've totally been reborn. And I'm like 0% the person I was 3 years ago, you know? And so that's where the whole Nine Lives come from. It's just like after one phase, it's like, you know, a new life, new stage. So
that's dope.
I love it. And the song Runaway.
Oh, I love it.
Tell us where this song came from. Why was this the song that you wanted to put out first?
It's a vibe, you know? It's actually the first record that I ever produced. I co-produced it with Dave. But it's the first record I ever produced, and I have been telling Dave, like, man, I really want to get into, like, producing, but I suck so bad. Like, man, my beats fucking suck. And, I mean, it was horrible. Like, I'm like, y'all just stick to writing and singing. And he left. It was supposed to, every Sunday, we work on covers and stuff for us and not focus on anybody else. And on my Sunday, I'm like, he always leave on my Sunday, man. And he had a session with Tyrese, and I was at the studio by myself. And I said, you know what? I can just do it. I'm going to engineer this shit. I'm going to do everything. And I did. I sat there. I went through Ableton, and I smoked a blunt.
Inspiration.
I turned the lights down, and I think I just kind of drew from what I was feeling and going through in that at the time, you know.
Yeah. Run Away.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's
so
dope.
Tell, what does the song come from?
The song just comes.
What's the meaning of the song?
Basically, I'm just saying, you know. I'm at a point in time in my life where I am probably just not the girl for you. So instead of, you know, leading you on or making you feel like we're going to have this, you know, I just can't do it.
I don't want
to
break
you.
Your heart.
I don't have it. I can't. I don't have nothing to offer. I mean, I don't want to break your heart. Mm-hmm. So run far.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I know you said that you would give us a little something from the song.
Do the, my background
for
me.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm so excited that you guys are about to do this right now.
I love it.
Okay. Run away, little boy. I don't want to break your heart. Run away, little boy. I do not want to break your heart. I don't know why you can't see. I'm not the girl for you. Hey. I do not know what you see. 'Cause I'll end up hurting you. Ooh, 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 run away.
Yes,
little. Boy, I don't want to break your heart. Run away, little boy. I do not want to break your heart. Okay.
Ooh, yeah. What's that for?
Okay, okay. Sorry.
Girl, you gonna make me smoke a blunt right now? Shit. Yes.
You guys,
congratulations to both of y'all. That was everything.
People really have to hear the the song. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
I absolutely love it.
That means so much to me.
I love it.
So are you still working on tracks for this LP? Or?
It's kind of done. It's kind of finished, but I have about 3 records. One record that I need to write. I just don't want to, for some reason, I can finish it and not put this record, but just a part of me just I can't let, as I keep saying, like, yo, I got to write this song. It just doesn't feel complete for some reason. So we got to do that record. And then I just want to go back and just, you know, touch up and refine a couple, like 2 more. But for the most part, it's kind of almost done, yeah.
Now, are we going to get a video for Runaway?
We are.
When can we expect that?
I'm actually, I think I start shooting next week.
Oh.
So, I'll keep you guys posted. Yeah.
Yay.
I'm excited.
Davion, what can we expect from you, from this young lady?
Well, I'm going to do my part. Well, we can expect real stories. Like, one thing we want to make sure in the music that comes from Sia, that is something that people can connect to. It's not just, you know, it's not just concepts that people are like, okay, well, that's cool, but I can't relate to that. Like, I don't, you know, I have, that has nothing to do with what's going on in my life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she sound good, but that's a song for somebody else. No, we want connectable music, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of our forte. And I'm going to try to throw in as much arrangement. I'm going to push her. That's yes. what I'm going to do. That's what you can expect. I make her work hard in the studio. Sometimes we we don't see eye to eye on things, but I push her. I don't like to hear her say I can't. So sometimes I try and force it out of her, and but she delivers like
you and know. It shows.
Yeah. Just and then I always end up saying, "I told you could do it."
Oh, yeah. I love them. So,
it shows because based off the two stories that you were talking about, how much you depend off him. Yeah. Both times where you did it by yourself, you were capable of. So yeah. you have a good, you yeah. got a good teacher over here.
Yeah.
So
not even teacher, just teammate.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because we definitely there's a lot that I learned from her. Mm-hmm. There's you know like. especially in our partnership, she comes from the creative side, so she gets it and she gets me. I'm just am I more wrapped in the creative side, and she does everything. So in the areas where I don't want to necessarily, you know, put too much energy in the business and the running of the studio, you know, I can focus on training our engineers, getting them working right in our system, and then us getting together and create. But man, the areas where I'm like, you know, can't do shit.
She step up.
Man, isn't that crazy?
Man, she kills it.
Ying and yang. David, what projects do you have going on? I know you said that you're working on Tyrese's new album.
Yes, it's called Black Rose. It's going to be a three-part project. He's writing a book. There is going to be a documentary where I'm going to be all throughout that. I was in, actually, the story behind how I got working with Tyrese. I was an engineer when he first started working on the album. I've always written, but in that situation, I was hired on as an engineer. Mm-hmm. He didn't know that I wrote, and you know, I went to him like, "Hey, you know, since we're out here, we're out in Arizona working on this project for a month," and I was like, "You know, well, since I write, how about I can still focus on my engineering duties and do some writing." I ended up getting like 7 or 8 joints on the project.
Yeah. Mm.
So.
But you might as well be the voice of Tyrese.
it just turned out to be a good situation. But that's going to be big when I tell you not having anything to do with my own records, which I do believe are special, which you know are the reason that they made it. But the collection of records that he has, there's no way he's not going to win a Grammy. Mm. So I'm like, I'm honored to be a part of this because I got to work with Grammy Award winning writers and producers, and I got to grow a lot, you know, in the situation. And so that's going to be big. The Tyrese Black Rose situation is going to be big. I'm actually just as excited or more excited about Sia's Nine Lives project, though. Then we have I just like that because we get to be creative. There's always the box, you know, when you mm-hmm. go and work with other artists. Mm-hmm. You have your ideas and you can go wherever you want to go in your mind, but you have to do it from their perspective.
And you yep. have to please them.
Yeah, you know, so sometimes you may feel like a certain cadence or lyric is the shit, and they might say, "Nah, but I wouldn't say that." Mm. And you're like, "Well, okay, cool. Well, how would you do it?" And you have to play that because you're not writing music for you. That's why we like writing music for us. So I'm working on my project as well. I just shot the video for my first single.
Hey, what's the first single?
What's the
single
called?
The first single is "I Gotta Make It," featuring Name Brand, who's he's a new artist, new rapper signed to Epic Records. He's dope, real dope yeah. dude. I'm excited about that.
When will that release, the video?
That video will probably release end of March.
You're going to have to send that over to us.
Send it over
absolutely.
And come on in.
Absolutely,
come
absolutely.
On
we'll be back for another tag team, you know what I mean?
Because your video will be done way done by
then.
Oh,
yeah. It'll be done before then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're working on yours. When are we getting an album?
The album, I haven't exactly settled on the date.
Just working on
just
it. Working.
I'm still. We've done a lot more work on her project so far. You know, getting it set up. She had her vision more, you know, clear, you know, early on. So it was easy for us to focus and get it knocked out. Me, my head's a little more all over the place. You know, it's
gotta
cool.
So there's a
process. I'm cool with that.
So the first single, though, will be available.
The first single will be available at the end of February. Okay. And the video will be available at the end of March.
Oh. And it's titled?
I gotta make it.
Sia. Runaway. Make sure y'all check that out. The video will be coming soon. And now, where can everyone keep in contact with you guys if they want to keep up with what you guys got going on?
Instagram, I'm an IG head at Sia Amoon. Twitter, I'm working on it. Twitter, Sia Amoon. Only those two. SoundCloud, you can check out my SoundCloud. I'm constantly uploading covers on there at Sia Amoon.
What's your favorite cover that you've recorded so far?
Drunk in Love.
Oh, yeah. Or we she gonna have sung to go that check the out. Other night.
Drunk in Love is my favorite cover.
I love y'all.
I love you too.
Davion, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at IamDavionF, on Twitter at IamDavionF, although honestly, my Twitter is just my Instagram posts. I'm not going to lie.
It's kind of how it works in 2015. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but you can get some fresh-ass pictures on Twitter, though, if you're not on Instagram. And then I also have a SoundCloud. It's Davion Ferris. Yeah, I think it's just Davion Ferris.
Runaway will be available on iTunes any day now.
Yay.
iTunes is holding up. I don't know.
Oh, we've already submitted it. We're just waiting on it. Yeah.
This should be posted any day now, so you guys got to keep checking for that.
Awesome. So make sure you guys check out Sia Amoon. You make sure you check her out on Twitter, Instagram. Keep up with her. And you guys get the new single Runaway on iTunes. You guys can hit us up at BHL Online on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Tweet me at DJ Jesse J.
Hey, you can Instagram me at Queen Wink and on Twitter, Queen Live. And check out winklux.com.
Yes. I'm Sean Allen, SHAWN_ on Instagram and Twitter.
Till next week, same time, same place.
Peace.
Shut up.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Music redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.